Well, I'm tired. Can I say? And so you are prepared today to listen very carefully to the message, lest I say something wrong. Try and catch me. The fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, you who are heirs of the Reformation, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. By these words, Solomon, the inspired writer of the proverb, warns us not to trust in the way we think, but to trust in the word of the Lord. In the same way also, when Paul brought the word of God to the Corinthian Christians, he spoke of, quote, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, if a man leans on his own understanding and exalts himself against the knowledge of God in the Bible, he cannot be saved from his sins. It's that simple. For salvation before God is by grace alone, through faith alone, revealed in Scripture alone. This is our great concern in this modern age, where the question is no longer what does God say, as one of my adult instruction manuals from 40 years ago asks, what does God say? The question today is, what do I think about God? What do I want? When our Savior left this world, he left the church in the world. But today the world is in the church. And by that I mean the emphasis has shifted. A former pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod sat in our pastoral conference last week in Corpus Christi, Texas. He sat in on it because he's left his church body. He stated that at the largest Lutheran seminary in the world, at St. Louis, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, increasingly, courses on theology and Bible study are being replaced by courses in administration and psychology. You see, the emphasis now is not what God says to us, but what do we think? How do others think about us? How can we present ourselves in the best light? One of the pastors at our conference last week told of a conversation with a man who has a PhD in chemistry and works for the National Laboratory in Los Alamos, New Mexico. PhD in chemistry. He claims to be a Christian. But when he was asked whether he put, quote, human reason and science over the Bible, or the Bible over human reason and science, he answered without hesitation, reason is over the Bible, science is highest. And so is the thinking of many today who still call themselves Christians. And this worldly thinking is seeping into the churches. People believe the Bible miracles must be tested by science and human reason in order to know whether they are historically true, whether they really took place. They believe that God's truth is not found in the scripture passage the way it's written, but each reader must be careful to look at the passage and draw out from it what it says to him in his particular situation. And so with the whole religious world going the other way, how dare we insist that Holy Scripture is the only authority for the believer's doctrine and life? The answer is simple, because our Savior still says so. And we are not going to apologize for such a simple answer. Christ says so. On the night before his death, he prayed to the Father for his believing disciples. In the verse before our text, Jesus says to his Father, they, that's you and me and all believers, are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Then he prays the words of our text. Follow them. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe, who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus tells us here that he was not sent into the world to become part of the world, but to proclaim God's word. He sanctified himself, he says, or separated himself from the world by forsaking riches, honor, everything that a man might want in this world, he forsook. Instead, committing himself to the death of the cross as complete payment for the sins of the world. And then he separated out for himself his apostles, and he sent them into the world with this message of peace and forgiveness, that others might also come to know him. He prayed in these words that through their word, many others would also be spiritually separated from the world and become united with one another in the Father and the Son. And many were. But after the death of the apostles, the devil put out every energy he could possibly spare, pulled out all the stops to try and disparage and diminish the authority of God's word in the outward Christian church. For example, in the 4th century early, the Emperor Constantine, paying no attention to the word, but leaning on his own understanding, he decided that it would be a wise thing for him to declare Christianity the religion of the empire. It would make better soldiers, because he saw what Christians were made of. And so he did that. He declared that Christianity was to be the universal or Catholic religion of the empire. And from then on, the Roman legal system found its way into the Roman Catholic Church. The church's bishops devoted themselves to the study of law and philosophy rather than the word. And when doctrinal controversies arose in the church, the people were not told, search the scriptures. You know what they were told? Go ask the bishop. As the Bishop of Rome gained prominence, questions involving the doctrine and life of Christians were settled on the decrees of the popes and the church councils rather than Holy Scripture. It was taught by the church that popes and councils must interpret the Bible for the people because they just couldn't understand it. It was just too difficult. And in 1225, a decree was made by the church at the Council of Toledo, Spain, that placed the Bible on the so-called Index Librorum Prohibitorum, which is Latin for a list of books that are prohibited for the Christian to read. Without access to the Word of God, for centuries, the people fell prey to all kinds of corrupt ideas, to human reason. The church emphasized outward works to make satisfaction for one's sins, pilgrimages, the sale of indulgences, prayer to Mary and the saints, fasting, worship of relics, and so on and on. All of this so corrupted the truth about salvation of sinners by grace through faith in Christ alone that the gospel was nearly completely smothered in the church. And then God sent the Reformation. In 1517, the sellers of indulgences, the indulgence letters that the Pope needed, taught that people could buy the extra good works of the dead saints from a so-called treasury of merits that the Pope kept, and he had the keys to it. But in Theses 62 of Luther's 95 against the sale of indulgences, in Theses 62, Luther wrote, "The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. With these words, the true treasure of the church is the holy gospel, Luther set on fire the Roman church. This became the tone of the entire Reformation. And as the fire of the Reformation spread after October 31st, 1517, the Roman Catholic Church pulled out all the stops to silence him. And they brought up the traditions of the councils and the papacy and human reason to argue against Luther, to oppose him. While Lutherans brought up nothing but the scripture. In the small call articles of 1537, Luther stated the principle that holds among us to this day. This is the rule. The word of God is to establish articles of faith, and no one besides, not even an angel, to paraphrase what Paul says in Galatians 1, no one, not even an angel, is to establish the articles of faith. It is from the Lutheran Reformation that we've inherited the truth that Scripture alone is to be the authority for the doctrine and life of the church. Even as Jesus says in our text, since the Holy Scripture is God's word, it must be true. How can it contradict itself as if part of it's true, part of it's not, part of it's allegory, part of it is fact and history, and we just can't figure it out? It must be true because it's God's word. With Luther, we know. And we believe our Savior who said, Father, your word is truth. And we believe that since the Holy Scripture is truth, it can't contradict itself any more than the Son of God can contradict the Father who sent him. It is their word. They can't contradict themselves, therefore the word can't contradict itself. Furthermore, Jesus says in these words at the end, at the last verse, that through this word of truth, those who believe it will be made one. They will be in harmony. They will agree with one another. They will be united with the Father and the Son. You can't unite people spiritually and truly by something that contradicts itself. We further believe with Luther and the Reformation that the Scripture is clear. We believe the psalmist, and we believe the children who quoted the psalmist this morning, because all it takes is a childlike faith to humbly bow before the word of truth and to say with the psalmist, O Lord, your word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's clear. When Luther became a doctor of theology, he made this promise, allegiance to my beloved Bible, to preach it faithfully and purely. His study of God's word through the years uncovered many errors that had smothered the gospel. The gospel, simply put, that the sinner is saved by grace.